Let's turn our Bibles tonight to the book of the Revelation, please. Chapter 20. The book of the Revelation, chapter 20. And we're reading, please, at verse number 11. The book of the Revelation, chapter 20. And we're reading at verse 11. Revelation, chapter 20. And we're reading at verse 11 this evening. And again, our thanks to Audrey for her ministry and song to our hearts this evening. Let's just bow together in a word of prayer. It's great to see so many children with us this evening, and we thank you for bringing your children. It's a great exercise to get children under the sound of the gospel, and I know what it's like sometimes to try and keep them under control. And if your children tonight are a wee bit restless, there's a prayer room just beyond that annex, and you feel free, if they're getting a wee bit restless, to take them in there, and you'll be a wee bit more comfortable. Let's just bow together in prayer as we think about this great judgment morning in Revelation chapter 20. Let's bow together in prayer. Father, we thank you tonight for the ministry and song. And we realize, Lord, that there will be a day coming when it's too late to pray, too late to trust the Savior. Time will have gone. Eternity will have just begun. And our Father, for some, even in this meeting tonight, it may be their last opportunity. We pray, O God, that you would solemnize our hearts as we come to your word, that we might know the help and aid and ministry of the Spirit of God. And our Father, we pray that you would make your word live to us tonight. And we pray, Lord, for those in the meeting and they're still not saved. We pray, our Father, that they may get ready for this great judgment morning. O God, speak to our hearts. We need thy help. We look to thee in the Savior's name. Amen. Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 11, please. Revelation 20 and verse number 11. And this is a very solemn scene. The book of the Revelation falls into three: past, present, and future. We've got the past. In chapter 1, John sees a vision of the Lord Jesus. We've got the present. Chapters 2 and 3, the risen Lord in the midst of the churches taking cognizance of all that's happening. We've got the future. In chapters 4, we've got the throne chapter. Chapter 5, we've got the Lamb. Chapter 6 through 19, we've got a period known as the tribulation period, when God will deal in judgment with this scene of time, with this world, when God will pour out his judgments upon this world, when the church will have been raptured. And then in chapter 20, we see the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. And then in verse 11 to verse 15, we see this great white throne judgment, what I'm calling that great judgment morning. Notice what John says in the verse 11, and he says, I saw. And that's one of the favorite expressions of the Apostle John. You can trace it through the book of the Revelation. He says, and I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. I just want you to pause for a moment if you're a Christian. I want you to thank God tonight that you're saved. You'll never see this liquid lake of fire. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. I want you to see tonight what God has saved you from. He saved you from hell. He saved you from the lake of fire. But wouldn't it, dear friends, would it not be a burden on our hearts tonight for our loved ones who are still on the road? Wouldn't you think tonight, if we really grasp this lake of fire, this place would be packed with people on a Thursday night seeking God for their family and seeking God for the salvation of their family. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. It's the second death. Verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I just want us to travel down tonight the quarter of time and into the future. I want us to move tonight from time and into eternity. You and I live today in the day of God's grace. But that soon will be replaced by the day of God's wrath. And the lost of all ages will be summoned to this great white throne judgment, to face judgment at the hands of the Lord Jesus, the one they despised, the one they scorned, the one they rejected. This is what John is speaking about in Revelation chapter 20. This is the greatest trial in human history. This is that great judgment morning. This is the morning when men will meet their Maker and they would wish that they could turn the clock back and they would wish that they could rewrite their personal history. I wonder, can you picture this scene? All that men would have dreamed for, all that men will have worked for, all that men will have aspired to will have turned to dust and rust and corruption. All that men have sold their souls for will have turned to nothing. And the saved are with the Lord. And the unsaved are summoned to stand before this great white throne judgment. Now, I want you to realize something tonight. That this is the judgment of the sinner. This is not the judgment of the saint. This is the judgment of lost people. This is not the judgment of the Lord's people. As a Christian believer, I will never have to stand before this great white throne judgment. As a Christian believer, I will never face judgment at the hands of Jesus Christ. Do you know why? Because I settled my case out of court when I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. And the Bible says, there is therefore now no more condemnation to them which are in Jesus Christ. But my sinner friend tonight, God has still some unfinished business with you. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life. And when we come to this scene tonight, it's a scene where the sinner stands before God. Payday has arrived. The judge is seated. The court is convened. The roll call of the damned has begun. Here we're given a glimpse of this great white throne judgment. Unsaved friend tonight, I want you to listen carefully. For if you die without Christ, one day you will stand at this great white throne judgment. I want you to simply notice tonight the judge. The judge. You see, if you die without Christ, if you die in your sin, you most certainly are going to stand in this eternal courtroom. What will you see? What will you hear? What will you fear? How will you feel? With terrible strokes of the pen, the Apostle John records this vision in a cave or in a hillside on the island of Patmos. And no doubt John was shaken as he wrote of the eternal damnation of the lost. Look at verse 11. He says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them," the judge. You say, preacher, what did John see? He saw the place of the judge. The throne speaks of the sovereignty of God. It's the throne of the Almighty One. The judge is seated on a throne. The word great speaks of the majesty of God. It's a great white throne. There are two reasons why this throne is called great. First of all, sinners have neglected so great salvation. Secondly, they are judged by a great God. This judgment is final. My friends, tonight, this is the court of no appeal. The verdict that the judge renders will be unchallenged, uncontested, undenied. Great speaks of the majesty of God. Throne speaks of the sovereignty of God. White speaks of the purity of God. This is the throne of the All-Holy One. This is the One who is of purer eyes than to behold evil. It tells us tonight that His judgment is impartial. His judgment cannot be bought. His judgment is always true. His verdicts are righteous and correct. The psalmist says, He shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. Maybe you've heard someone pray, Lord, help me to stand before this great white throne. Well, please don't pray that prayer for me. You see, only the unsaved will be standing at this judgment. Only the unregenerate will be standing at this judgment. You see, the unsaved will stand before this judgment, the purpose, the results being to determine their degrees of punishment in hell. I want you to see the place of the judge. But look again, notice the presence of the judge and him that sat on it. Someone is sitting on the throne. Someone whose presence, before whose presence the heaven and the earth fled from him. Who is this judge, so mighty, so awesome, so fearful? My dear friends, this is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. Just think about it tonight. That same Jesus, of whom we love to sing, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. That same Jesus tonight, who wants to be the Savior of your soul, is going to be the judge of the universe. That same Jesus, who they brought to the judgment hall and placed on trial, that same Lord Jesus, who was falsely accused, who was cursed, who was mocked, who was slapped, who was spat upon, who was scourged, that same Lord Jesus, who was convicted and crucified for blasphemy, for saying that he's the Son of God. He's sitting on this great white throne. He's the judge of the universe. He's the judge of all who have rejected him. I tell you, dear unsaved friend, tonight, this figure will awaken memories from the past. When you stand at this judgment bar, some of you will say, I used his name as a curse word. Others of you will say, I heard about him at my mother's knee, but I left him out of my life. Some of you will say, I sold him for a godless marriage. I rejected him for a few short years of sin. I really never gave him the time of day. I never really considered his claims. I yawned in the face of Jesus Christ. I wrote him off as a myth. And yet there he will sit, real, solid, living, all-knowing, terrible to behold, with eyes that flash like a flame of fire and burn into your conscience. That face that men spat upon will haunt you forever. You see, my friend, you're going to come face to face with Jesus Christ. Now you have a choice tonight. You can meet him at the cross. Or you can meet him in the courtroom. You can meet him as the Lamb of God. Or you can meet him as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. You can meet him as your Redeemer. Or you can meet him as your Revenger. You can determine how you're going to meet Jesus Christ. But my friend, you cannot determine whether or not you're going to meet Jesus Christ. For every unsaved person is going to come face to face with Jesus Christ. He's inescapable. He's unavoidable. The atheist, the man who says tonight there is no God, is going to meet Jesus Christ. The humanist, the man who ridicules everything in the Bible, is going to meet Jesus Christ. The moralist,
The man who thinks his morality and respectability and religiosity are somehow going to curry favor in the sight of God is going to meet Jesus Christ. The religionist is going to meet Jesus Christ. Those of you who have scorned and scoffed and slated the Savior, you're going to meet Jesus Christ. You'll look upon him. You'll see the nail scars in his hand. You'll see the marks of Calvary on his feet. You'll recognize the imprint of the crown of thorns on his head. Either as Savior or Judge, you're going to meet him. He's on the throne. I want you to see the place of this judge. I want you to see the presence of this judge. I want you to see the power of this judge. For I want you to notice that this scene that is set up in eternity, everything will be gone. We're in eternity. There's nowhere to hide. Notice what John says, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. Here is the final dissolution of all things that Peter speaks about. Everything familiar will be gone. Every recognizable landmark will be gone. There will be no hiding place. There will be no means of escape. You remember in the Garden of Adam, when the Lord came calling for Adam, that Adam and Eve hid among the trees of the garden, but they could not hide from God. The old Negro spiritual says, I went to the rock to hide my face. And the rock cried out, no hiding place. There won't even be a rock to go to. No clouds, no sun, no stars. An appalling emptiness, a throne of dazzling whiteness, a fear of face and a figure. Just you and God, face to face with God. It's going to happen one of these days. You're coming, sir, face to face with Jesus Christ. You may not believe in him. You may not trust him. You may not accept him. You may not recognize him. You may not recognize his claims on your life. But you're coming face to face with Jesus Christ. This is the judge. I want you to see something else. I want you to see tonight not only the judge, but the judged. Maybe you're saying tonight, well, preacher, who's going to stand at this great white throne judgment? Well, look at verse 11. Notice what it says. John says, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. I want you to see the company here, the dead, small and great. They're standing before God. I want you to notice that they're standing. I want you to see tonight that the unsaved have got resurrected bodies. You know, you and I as believers, our bodies are going to be resurrected at the rapture. But a long way after that, there's going to be the resurrection of the damned. John says, but the rest of the dead, the rest of the unsaved dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. There is going to be a resurrection of lost people. Every unbeliever of every generation, of every tribe, of every family, of every nation, of every language, will be raised to stand before the judge. Sometimes, you know, folk have got the idea that they can live as they please, and they'll die as a dog, and that's it. The Bible teaches us there's going to be the resurrection of the unsaved. And here it is. I want you to see that bodies are going to be raised. Unregenerate bodies. Unsaved bodies. The dead, small and great. It means the up and out as well as the down and out. It means the big shot as well as the little shot. It doesn't matter tonight how much education you have, how much money you have, how much position you have. It doesn't matter tonight how much prestige you have. It doesn't matter tonight how much of this world's goods you have. The dead, small and great, will stand before God. You know, Judas will be there. He despised his privileges. What privileges Judas enjoyed? Here was a man who walked with Jesus Christ for 3 years. He saw the miracles that Christ wrought. He listened to the messages that Christ brought. He saw that perfect, pure life every day. But like some of you, the love of money had gripped his soul. And tonight he's in hell, and one day he's going to be summoned to this great white throne judgment and be judged. Wonder, like Judas tonight, have you despised your privileges? What a privilege it is to be brought up in Ulster. Thank God for our wee land tonight. May God preserve us from those who would seek to destroy the liberty of the gospel. Think of the privileges that you've enjoyed. Some of you have had the privilege of being brought up in a godly home. Some of you have had the privilege of being brought up in a Bible-believing church. Where in all of these islands tonight has the gospel been preached with more faithfulness and more fervor and fearlessness than in Ulster itself, my friend? Your damnation in hell will be greater. I wonder, like Judas, have you despised your privileges? You know, Pilate will be there. He demonstrated his fear. You remember what the Jews said to Pilate, "If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend." Pilate loved to be popular. He loved to be seen. He loved the prestige. He loved the popularity. He loved all of it. Wonder tonight, my friend, will you stand beside Pilate at this judgment bar because you're afraid? You're afraid tonight to come to Jesus Christ. You're afraid of what your friends may think, your wife may think, your husband may think. Judas will be there. He despised his privileges. Pilate will be there. He demonstrated his fear. Felix will be there. He delayed his decision. He said to Paul, "When I have a convenient season, I will call for you." My friend, the devil tonight doesn't mind you believing my message. He doesn't mind you believing tonight that Jesus Christ is the only Savior for lost sinners. He doesn't even mind tonight you intending to get saved as long as you don't get saved. You say, "Preacher, what's the rush? What's the hurry? What's the urgency?" Well, the Bible says, "What is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away." I want to tell you tonight, it may be the last message I'll preach, but it may be the last message you'll ever hear. Can you feel your heartbeat tonight? That small beat is just a step between you and death. It's just a step between you and hell. It's just a step between you and this liquid lake of fire. I want you to see the company here. If you look at verse 13, you can see the geography here. It says, "The sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. Forth they will come from the Arctic wastes, from the desert sands, from the tropical jungles they will come. Wherever people have died, they will be raised. Forth from their tombs they will come, naked bodies reunited with naked souls, face to face at last with the day of judgment. Oh, their philosophies will be gone now. People who said there is no God, people who said death ends it all, people who said there is no judgment, people who said God's too loving to send anyone to hell, out from the graves they will come, the lost of all the ages, summoned to stand before this great white throne judgment." Can you see the company here? Can you see the geography here? Can you see the authority here? "For these dead bodies are raised by divine power," verse 13, "and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them." Death, the abode of the body. Hell, the abode of the soul, are coming together at the great white throne judgment. Did you know tonight that Easter is not only the celebration of the resurrection, it's the guarantee of divine judgment? Did you know that? Easter tonight, it's not only the celebration of the resurrection, it's the guarantee of divine judgment. Paul says that God hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. The resurrection of Jesus Christ tonight guarantees the judgment of the unsaved dead. You make no mistake about it tonight. When God summons you, you're coming.
There's no escape. You can't crawl up in the grave and pull the dirt over your face and hide from God. You're coming to judgment, and they were judged, every man according to their works. Now I want you to see the judge. And I want you to see the judge. And then finally, I want you to see the judgment. And maybe you're saying tonight, well, Dennis, how do we know that each of these billions of people are going to stand at this great white judgment? How do we know that they're going to get a fair trial? How do we know that they're going to get a fair deal? How do we know that this judgment will be fair? Well, I want you to see that what John says. He says, and the books were opened, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books. I want you to see the equity of this judgment. The books are opened. As Jim Allen says, all is accurate, infallible, beyond dispute. The records are divine. That's what this means. Did you know tonight that God has your life recorded in His book? Did you know that? God is your life in His book. Everything you do, God records. Every thought you have, every word you speak, the Bible says God shall bring every word into judgment. The Bible says God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ. That means the things that no one else knows anything about, God has recorded, and those thoughts that have been repressed will be expressed because they've been recorded. You know what Jesus Christ says? Every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. You ever think about that? Words of profanity, words of lying, words of exaggeration, words of gossip, you'll give an account in the day of judgment. They were judged, every man, according to their work. You say tonight, does that mean that a person can do sufficient good works to enter into heaven? No. My friend, tonight you're saved or damned by what you do with Jesus Christ. You accept Him tonight as your Savior and you're saved. You'll never stand at this judgment. You reject Him tonight as your Savior and you'll stand at this judgment. You know, some people think that God will add up all the good and bad in a person's life. If the good outweighs the bad, they'll enter heaven. If the bad outweighs the good, they'll be damned in hell. But my dear friends, it's not like that at all. You're saved or lost by what you do with Jesus Christ. You say, well, what does it mean? They were judged, every man, according to their works, to determine the degree of punishment that you're going to endure in hell. You see, all who stand at this great white throne judgment will be cast into the lake of fire. Their personal rejection of Jesus Christ has already determined their destiny, but Jesus Christ is a righteous judge. And each lost sinner will receive what is due him, and no one will be able to argue with the judge or to question his decision.
I wonder, can you see this eternal courtroom? Can you see the judge? Can you see the Lord Jesus on the throne? I wonder, is that you I see standing there? Standing in your sin. Standing in your self-righteousness. Standing in your nakedness before God because you've turned your back on Jesus Christ. I want you to see tonight that this judgment's going to be fair. I want you to see the equity of this judgment, but I want you to see something else. I want you to see the severity of this judgment. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I want to tell you tonight, there's not one shred of mercy, not one shred of grace, not one shred of pardon. You say tonight, Dennis, that's very severe. No, it's not. My friend, if you want mercy tonight, you can have it now. If you want grace tonight, you can have it now. If you want forgiveness tonight, you can have it now. The Bible says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. I'm told tonight, and I don't know much about law, but I'm told tonight there are three parts to every trial. One, the evidence is presented. Two, you have a chance to make your defense. Three, the verdict of the court is passed down. I want you to do a wee bit of imagination tonight. Let's imagine that the end of time has come, that the Christians are with the Lord, and the unsaved, you, my friend, are summoned to stand before God. The dead, small and great, are standing before God, and one by one, billions of people are called, and they're face to face with Jesus Christ, the Christ they rejected, spurned, and ignored.
and the books are opened, and the lists of your sin are read out. The deeds that you've done, the words that you've spoken, the thoughts that you've had, and then the things that you didn't do. And when you lusted in your heart, God wrote down adultery. And when you had murder and bitterness in your heart, God wrote down hatred. I want you to see the catalog of your sins as you stand before Almighty God and you cry out, oh no, and God says, this is the record. And
then you'll have a chance to make your defense. Wonder what you'll say. Well, you say, well, Lord, I didn't know which church to join. Whether it was the Baptist, the Brethren, or the Free Presbyterian, and the Lord will say, I didn't ask you to join a church. I asked you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved.
But, Lord, it was that old hypocrite in Lurgan Baptist Church, and that's why I'm not saved. And the Lord will say to you, I didn't ask you to believe on a hypocrite. I said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. But Lord, it was the preacher. I went on Sunday night, and I wanted to be made feel good. And he preached on judgment. And the Lord will say to you, I didn't ask you to believe on a preacher. I said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And you'll say, but Lord, I wasn't sure I could keep it. And the Lord will say, I didn't ask you to believe on yourself. I said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And one by one, the excuses will be gone. And you'll be standing speechless before the court and before the throne, and the verdict will be given. And whosoever wasn't found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I want you to see the equity of this judgment. I want you to see the severity of this judgment. I want you to see the tragedy of this judgment. And whosoever wasn't found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. It simply means tonight that your name could have been inscribed in the Lamb's book of life. It means tonight that God loved you and Christ has died for you, and your name could have been written in the book of life. You see, friend, tonight you have a choice to make. Here's the choice. You can have a free pardon or a fair trial. Have you got it? You can have a free pardon or a fair trial. You can have the mercy of God tonight or the justice of God then. You say to yourself, preacher, I don't want the mercy of God. All I want is justice. Well, my dear friends, if justice is all you want, it's justice that you will get. But when you get what you want, you'll not want what you've got.
God offers you a choice tonight. There's a whosoever of salvation. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shouldn't perish but have everlasting life. There's the whosoever of salvation. There's the whosoever of damnation. And whosoever wasn't found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, which will it be tonight? It's life or death. It's heaven or hell. Is Christ as Savior, or it's Christ as Judge? James Merritt, the American preacher, tells the story of some men who were out in the prairie, and a prairie fire come up, and the wind whipped those flames up furiously, and those men, like the folk in Canada recently, they realized that they couldn't possibly outrun the flames, and the flames were coming closer and closer and faster and faster, and one man screamed out, we're all going to perish. And one man said, well, I've got a plan. And he reached into his pocket and he pulled out a box of matches and he struck a match and he started a fire at his very feet. And the fire was burning, coming one way, and the other fire was coming the other way. And one of the men in the group said, you're a fool. We're surrounded by fire. We're going to die now. The other man who struck the match said, wait a moment. I know what I'm doing. He waited a moment, waited a few moments, waited a few minutes. And then he said to the men who were gathered around him, step over onto the burn place. And they stepped over to the place that was burned and scorched with fire. And the man who had struck the match said, we're all safe. The other men said, why do you say that? He says, because the fire cannot come where the fire has already been. One way or another, the fire of God's judgment is going to fall. It fell 2,000 years ago at a place called Calvary, and it's going to fall again when you stand unsaved at the great white throne judgment. And there the judgment of God will fall and sweep you into a liquid lake of fire. Do you know something? There's one spot that's safe tonight. It's a burned off spot. It's called Calvary. I wonder, will you come to that spot tonight, to that place where Jesus died for you? Will you say, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Listen, if you come to the cross tonight, you'll never come to the courtroom then. When I was a wee boy, my dad was bringing me out to the meetings. The singers came along, and this song I heard continually, I want you to listen to it in closing as I close. I dreamed that the great judgment morning had dawned and the trumpet had blown. I dreamed that the nations had gathered to judgment before the white throne. From the throne came a bright shining angel and stood by the land and the sea and swore with his hand raised to heaven the time was no longer to be. The rich man was there, but his money had melted and vanished away. A pauper he stood in the judgment, his debts were too heavy to pay. The great man was there, but his greatness when death came was left far behind. The angel that opened the records, not a trace of his greatness could find. The gambler was there and the drunkard, and the man that had sold them the drink with the people who sold them the license. Together in hell they did sink. The moral man came to the judgment, but his self-righteous rags wouldn't do. The man who had crucified Jesus had passed off as mortal men do. The soul that had put off salvation, not tonight, I'll get saved by and by. No time now to think of religion. At last he had found time to die. And oh, what a weeping and wailing. It was the loss. Were told of their fate. They cried for the rocks and the mountains. They prayed, but their prayer was too late. Let's pray.